And you know what? The devil can't do anything God don't permit him to do. He couldn't take Job's life. He said, you can afflict him. You can kill his children. You can take all his possessions. But don't you take his life. Well, he come within that hair's breadth of getting his life. But Job was too sick to die, but God didn't let him die. The devil tried to kill him, but God wouldn't let him. Lord, have mercy. When thou, Lord, with the rebukes doth correct man for his iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. And the next part of that verse says, surely every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Even at your best state, there ain't much to us, you know that. We got to be careful that we don't think ourselves to be more than what God tells us we are. Now, I want to show you something here that this is so revealing, it's pathetic. That's Psalm 107. I want you to turn to that scripture, please. Psalm 107. This is some scripture, ladies and gentlemen. It's in your Holy Bible. I want you to begin with me in verse 17. Fools, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Iniquity, rebellion, inward wickedness that you don't want to define or nobody don't seem to know the definition of. Pride. Who in the world can measure pride? But God said, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let's go back just a little bit further. Verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such is set in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. And then that verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and their iniquities are afflicted. Why in the world is this in the Holy Bible and preachers and Christians want to overlook it and close our ears and say, my God, that guy's a troublemaker. He can always find something that makes people feel uncomfortable. I was making some radio broadcasts recently. I got down to the end. I was preaching pretty hard. My son met a postman this week, a couple weeks ago. He asked him his name, said, Ray Pringle. Ray Pringle? Are you kin of that and it preaches on the radio? Yeah, I'm his son. Lord have mercy sake. So I listen to that man all the time. Said, he's, everybody I talk to, he's that hard preacher. Ray like not got away from him. Said, boy, this is something meeting the son of that man I listen to all the time. I was making a broadcast and I was preaching on rebellion, something like this. I got to the end. And the Holy Ghost just came on me. And you do get kind of hard in a way, but then you melt with the Holy Ghost, the same son that, the same old colt, the same son that melts the wax hardens the clay. Do you know that? And the Holy Ghost, I got a soft heart, but I just had to obey God and preach the truth. But I got down to the end, and the Holy Ghost just come on me. And I said something I don't think I'd ever said. I said, folks, you ought not be mad at me because I tell you the truth. I said, I've told you what's in your Holy Bible. You say you believe the Bible. Then I've spoken to you out of your Holy Bible. You ought to love me. You ought to appreciate me telling you the truth that a lot of preachers won't tell you. You ought not to be mad at me because I'm probably the best friend you've got to tell you the truth that other preachers won't tell you. Don't be mad with me. Thank God that there's one left that will. That's what it always was in the Bible in every generation. You never found over two preachers that would preach the whole truth in any generation that's recorded in this Bible. Lord, have mercy sake. Then think everybody around mentioning Jesus is telling you the truth. The Lord said fools because of their transgression and their iniquities. That's their rebellion, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw nigh the gates of the death. But then what they do? They cry out to the Lord, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You got to get the word of God. There's a blessed old prophet over here called Micah. Just look at this. Micah, the 7th chapter, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Pardoneth iniquity. And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. See, sins and iniquities are different. You can have pride and not do anything morally wrong, but you're still wicked. Pride is the zenith of wickedness. That inward state of rebellion that God has to cleanse you from. He can't just forgive you for it. He's got to clean you up from it. Old Isaiah cried out about Jesus. You remember what he said about Jesus, about Isaiah 53 and 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. See, he's wounded for our sins, transgression, but he's bruised, all beat up, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him, hanging up there, the iniquity of us all. That we can get delivered from that old rebellion and inward wickedness and pride and those deceitful sins that don't make you get drunk and gamble and commit immorality and all these other terrible things. But pride will destroy you. It'll bring affliction on you. It'll bring you near the gates of death, where you won't want nothing to eat. For you cry out to the Lord and repent, and he delivers you. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. You see the difference between iniquities and sin. Iniquity is a state or condition that pride always interacts with your thoughts, with your plans, and makes you absolutely despicable with God. Always remember Psalm 5 and 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Things that pride makes you do, God says, I hate. We got to remember that. And God says your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he won't hear you anymore. Better listen to the word of God, not be concerned about so much what somebody else has said. Praise God. When you're saved, in the Romans, the 6th chapter, the Bible tells us what kind of a life we came out of when we're saved. That goes for any sinner, you, me, or anybody else. Verse 17 says, God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being now made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And listen to Paul, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto another iniquity. Just go from one old rebellious act and condition to another. Even so now, see, God brought us out of uncleanness and out of our iniquities, our old rebellion and pride. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were the free from righteousness. Praise God, that old iniquity that made Satan rise up and be God's mighty adversary makes us likewise an enemy with God. For whosoever is a friend of this world is the enemy of God.
James, the fourth chapter.